Thank you. You've heard our prayers and your spirit is present and is energizing your word in our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Now let's start our studies today by reading from the book of John chapter 5. I feel fairly certain that we'll be able to finish our studies that we've been on for some time today. I was supposed to end it last time, but we couldn't finish it. Now, I'm going to read from the book of John chapter 5 and from verse 37. Jesus said, the Father, he was talking about the credibility of his ministry. And he said, the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. And he told the people, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe in him whom he sent. That's proof that you do not have his word abiding in you. If you had that word, then you would believe in the person that he has sent. Then in verse 39, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. He said, it is these that bear witness of me, that is the scriptures, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. That is, please notice something there. He was explaining to them that contrary to what a lot of us think, all right, that you read the Bible and you just get life out of it. You know, just quote a scripture and that is it. There's power in it. Jesus said it's a bit beyond that. That what the scriptures do is to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand my point? That what they do is to testify. And then what you are supposed to do, having searched the scriptures, is to come to the Lord Jesus. And then in him you will find life. Are you getting my point? Now, there's something I've been saying again and again about the power of Christianity. I said this is the beauty of Christianity. We don't learn methods. Are you getting what I'm saying? Our aim is to contact God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we contact him, he puts a spirit inside us. Are you getting my point? Which is the spirit of life. Now, there's something I'm trying to bring out here. I'm trying to conclude what we have been discussing about how to find ourselves obeying God. We have discussed, and I'm not going to review that. I want to try and conclude everything today. So let me not take any time. All right? Except it's absolutely necessary. Well, the last few weeks, what we have been trying to see is that, okay, when I have discovered that which is the will of God, do you understand? When I have discovered that which is right to do, and I discovered that I do not have the power to do it, you get what I'm saying? Then what do I do? You see, I said Christianity is the spirit of God entering into you and making you do God's will. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is not by trying. Spiritual things are interesting. If you learn the truth about the realm of the spirit, you will know that spiritual things control the physical. And if the spiritual is in its proper place, the physical automatically responds. So what we are doing is to put the spiritual in the proper place. We are not trying to learn the methods of obeying God. We are trying to get the spirit of God in us to obey God for us. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That is, the Bible says that it is God that's at work within you, both to will and to do. That is, God does not just make you do alone or ask you to do, but his spirit works in you to make you willing. Do you understand my point first? And then the spirit will make you do that which he has made you willing to do. Now, what I'm telling you is what is the central core of Christianity. It is not giving people codes and commandments and having them obey them, but putting the spirit behind those codes and commandments into the hearts of the people. So that even though you were to take away the codes and commandments, they will still do that which is right. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that's what I want us to understand. Now, so what are we supposed to do? You know, last time I explained something, I just want to continue from there. That's why I stopped. I said that, listen, life can sometimes put a lot of pressure on you. Obedience to God can appear very difficult. And that's not because you are a wicked person. In fact, why it's appearing difficult is because you're a good person. You say, what do I mean? If you were not a good person, you wouldn't try. Do you understand my point? It is because you are trying that you are discovering the difficulty in it. Are you following what I'm saying? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he got to a point, He knew the will of God, yet it was difficult for him to do. I've preached this message several times. Like I said before, when I said about 3 weeks ago, I said, I just need to say it until people get it. The power of Christianity is in the place of prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, don't forget what I've been saying. The prayer is not how to learn to speak big English. It's how to express yourself in sincerity before God. I brought up this scripture to bring out an issue. That it is not just about reading the scriptures and knowing what is right, but having the Spirit of God work inside you so that you automatically want to do that which is right. All right, so that's the point I'm trying to make. Now, please don't forget what I've said. That number one, this thing about Christianity, it's not by our strength, it's not by our struggles. It's God that is working in us. And that's what I want us to understand. I'm trying to emphasize that. Listen, if God gives you a knowledge of his will, he's not saying that you should try and use your energy, okay, to obey. And that is what made a lot of people make as mistakes. They start giving people on, you know, we start worrying ourselves on what to do and what to not do. Because we have learned a new truth. And I said before that's why I don't like the expression. You know, I keep on rejecting that terminology all the time. Motivational speaker. Because a motivational speaker tries to get you to get up to do something. There's a difference between that and a preacher. You know what a preacher does? He introduces you to God. You know? And then when you have gone to meet God, it is just between you and God the Father. Then he pours his spirit into you and you become a new man. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Now, so what? How do we get to that point? That's what we're trying to get to. You know, last time I explained, and I was trying to continue from there now. Last time I said that sometimes you have a lot of conflicts. And I was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ a while ago. That you find out that he knew the cross was the will of God. Don't forget to, please. He was fully aware of the reason why he was born. Are you getting my point? Go and read around John chapter 12. Long before the cross arrived, he was already saying it. Will I say, deliver me from this hour? He said, for this cause I reached this hour. This was why I arrived at this hour. Yet now, with all the perfect spirit inside him, because he dwells in a tabernacle of flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because he dwells in a tabernacle of flesh, when he saw things that were going to injure the flesh, he was, in quote, afraid. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that is the key that we must learn. I brought this one up to bring out an issue there. That this John chapter 5 that we just read now. That he said, we get from the scriptures the testimony of Jesus Christ. We get from the scriptures what God wants us to do. We get from all the different methods we have discussed on how do I know the will of God. We come to a realization. Now most of God's will we will walk in. Listen, we will walk in them unconsciously. But there are times we come to an intellectual knowledge like Jesus had of what the will of God is. Are you getting my point? And then there are times the thing is really difficult to do. That's what I'm trying to explain. And listen, I said this before. Abraham considered his body. Let us read that one. It's important we get the points. So I will not start flowing the things I want to say. Quickly go to the book of Romans chapter 4. Let's just read that. I'll read the New American Standard in verse 19. Well, I like to usually read in context. So let me just backstep one verse and go to verse 18. It says, in hope against hope, he believed, that is Abraham, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. Are you getting me? Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, what I want to bring out is the fact that the Bible says he contemplated his body. If you have a King James, it might tell you he did not contemplate the body. Yes. I need to clarify that. If you're reading the King James, but you know, sometimes that's why you read different versions of the Bible. The accurate thing, if you read every other version apart from the King James, the accurate thing is that Abraham contemplated his body. Are you getting my point? That is, he looked at the situation. He looked at the problem. He didn't just tell himself, don't worry, there's no problem. He opened his eyes and saw what the issues were. Christianity is not about denying that which is apparent. Are you getting what I'm saying? When the cross was coming up, Jesus was pained in the body. He saw what was going to happen And the flesh experienced his weakness. Even though the spirit was willing, the flesh was what? Weak. You are following what I'm saying? Now, we don't have to struggle. Oh, this is what I'm trying to bring out. We don't have to struggle by our strength against the weak flesh. When Jesus saw the flesh was weak, what did he do? He went straight into the garden to go and pray. There was no method. He just went straight to the garden to go and pray. And that's what I'm trying to bring out for us again. For us to understand this thing about walking in the will of God. You know, I said something last week. That's what I was trying to explain. That Christians are basically, now listen to this, I mean it matter of factly. As a believer, Christians, or as believers, Christians are good people. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said they are what? They are good people. What do I mean? God created them good. He put the spirit of God inside them. The seed of God dwells in everyone that have believed in the Lord Jesus. It may not be manifested fully. It's often manifested to varying degrees. But the fact is that God created them good. We said from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He said God made all men upright, but they sought out many devices. That is, even though God made men good, made the Christian good, he put the right spirit inside him, it is possible for them, all right, to seek out many devices. Just like the multitude of Satan's trade filled the center of him with wickedness, with violence. In the same manner, Christians can, because of the multitude, listen, of their encounters, fill their hearts with disobedience. I'm explaining why people disobey God. It's because of things that they have encountered in life. And the summary of it is what the Bible calls the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. Now let me define the word mammon to us again. I was talking about this last week. I want to finish with it today. If you go and read that Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was talking about you cannot serve God and mammon. When we talk about mammon, most of us think that mammon is, you know, when you see a very big car in a very tall Jeep pass, or see a very fine house and expensive gadgets and all of that, a man has a lot of money. We think that is mammon. Let me explain it to you. That is not mammon. See, I don't want to spend a lot of time reading the scripture. Let me just tell you. If you go in that end of Matthew chapter 6, there's a principle you will see there. Now, he said that you cannot serve two masters. It's either you hate one and love the other, or you hate that other one and love this one. All right? He said, in the same manner, you cannot serve God and what? Mammon. He said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said what? Therefore, I say unto you, therefore, because you cannot serve God and mammon, therefore, I say, do not think about what you will eat, what you will drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. That is, mammon is not the big things of life. It's the basic things of life. Are you getting my point? The desire to have security is what mammon is. It's not the desire to have plenty. There's a world of difference between covetousness and mammon. A covetous man wants his own and that of another. So he said, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. The man who is serving mammon, he doesn't care about your own. He just wants to be sure he has his own. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. He just wants security. The fellow is not trying to get everything. He wants what? Security. Therefore, let me give you, I'm a preacher, and preaching is the easiest one to give as an example, but I believe it's a commission of God in my life not to use too much preaching as an example. You know why? Most people think ministry is all about preaching. There are different ways by which people can serve God, and they are all the service of God. Daniel was a prophet, right? But you know, he hardly prophesied. He prophesied a few times. All the prophecies he prophesied is the one you read in that book. And that guy died as an old man. At least we are certain that guy will have been, by the time he was praying for deliverance of Israel, he was over 80, we are sure. He came to Babylon as a young boy. Now I'm trying to bring out something. He was a prophet. But all the prophecies he prophesied is what is written in that book of Daniel. What am I going to explain? Was he serving God? Yes. He was serving God all the time. But he wasn't prophesying all the time. How was he serving God? He was serving the king. He was a cabinet minister. Are you getting my point? He was showing the excellence of God as a cabinet minister. He was working for a man who didn't understand who the true God was. Are you following me? And one day he had to interpret a dream to show Nebuchadnezzar that God was in charge. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Yet the man was serving God all the time. Please, bear that one in mind. So, the service of God is not just the one you do in church. Or we say, okay, Pastor Parker is serving God because he's preaching. The man who is a boss in an office, if he understands mission, ministry in life, alright? He will know that being a boss is service to God. So, when you are doing boss work, you follow what I'm saying? Then you do it as one serving the Lord. Then you are serving God. It is not that I have served man enough for today. It's 5 o'clock. Let me now go to church and go and serve God. That is wrong. Please, I'm digressing. I just want to get the point across to all of us, all right? So let me get back to what I wanted to say. Don't forget where I was. Where was I? I was talking about mammon. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? So if a man or a young woman has, of which is natural, everybody should have a desire for self-preservation. Because listen to me, it's inside the human genome. I mean, every animal, they have the instinct to preserve themselves and to preserve their race. It's an instinct. Are you following what I'm saying? So, nothing wrong with that. What is a mark of Christianity is where we place our faith in the supplies that will keep us safe. Are you following what I'm saying? Where do we keep our faith? That is what is Christianity. I've been meditating a lot about the issue of, you know, there's global financial crisis and all stuff like that. About the issue of money and stuff like that. And I have realized that, this is the summary of it, in this world, everything you eat is a gift of God. It's not because you worked hard. Do you follow my point? It's a gift of God. It's not because you worked hard. It is because God said you will have food. That's why you have it. Jesus said it, and he had the full understanding of spiritual things. He said the birds of the air is God that's feeding them. Are you following my point? If you have a shirt on your shoulders right now, it's because God gave it to you. Oh God. It is not because you have money or you don't. In fact, what am I saying? If you have money in your pocket, it's because God put it there. I'm trying to bring out something. That if you have food on your table, it's not because you worked hard or you are smarter than anybody else. So let's assume that somebody wants to make a decision. Let's go and pastor a church. The reason why he will not want to come, go to a small town. Now, I'm saying this because let's not sound too spiritual. Are you getting my point? If all your friends are driving cars, and all of you are 21 years and you don't have a car, it's okay. But when all of you are crossing certain ages, you start getting a bit uneasy. Don't pretend. It's a fact. Did I hear an amen? All right. Because we have to say the fact boldly, then we'll be able to tackle it. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, so, I mean, I've heard this discussed with pastors before. I've told you the kind of counsel I have gotten. People have told me, this is your radio program. Let me tell you a nice way of paying for it. Sell 5 minutes at the beginning as advert because it's now prime time and all of that. I said, no. If God cannot send us enough money to pay for it, then let us shut it down. We will not use any trick. People have advised me, and they meant well. That's what I want to understand. The people mean well. When they say, Pastor Banky, human beings are not very faithful. You will teach them all the word on Saturday. They will go and pay tithe in their church on Sunday. Cuckoo, make them come back on Sunday. I'm not joking. This is serious talk. People will sit down and explain. As I was driving down, something came to my mind that every preacher should read Paul properly. Paul said, I have coveted nobody's goods. I don't know whether you get my point. All that counsel is teaching me how to covet people's goods. One of the things that the Lord has taught me, you can walk up to me and say, Pastor,
God just blessed us. That business we did last week, we just made 10 million naira. And I will rejoice with you, and my heart will not even say, so where is our portion? No, I'm not joking. Except you are my personal friend. You know what I mean? Personal friend. That's not because I'm a preacher. It is more because you are my personal... A friend of mine told me one thing once. See, business that is coming. I said, when it comes. I said, this is the kind of car I like. You go and buy it. Don't tell me the money has come. Just buy the car just to show me that the money has come. Now, I'm not... It's because it's a personal friend. It's because it's a personal friend. All right? Beyond that, no. God is my witness. Paul said, I have coveted nobody's goods. Now, I'm bringing out something. Before we just point and say, don't mind them, they are coveting. If you have never been in the situation where your life depends on the generosity of people, then don't talk. Yeah, listen. Later on, we'll talk about money matters. I told you, there's a book I'm writing on, titled, Who Will Pay For This? The reason why a lot of preachers preach corrupt message is because they are hungry. There are two groups. There are those who are wicked people. They are covetous. There are those that are just plain hungry. School is on break. The man has three children. They will soon open school in 3 weeks. School fees put together plus buy book and everything is 80,000 naira. He has to eat. Oh, I forgot to mention. This school has a way of opening when rent is due. Listen to me, Let us be real. If this is the only job you do is preach, listen, no. Next time you want to preach, I don't look around. Say, this guy looks like he has money. God said. It's not God that says, hunger said. And look, we need to get this thing clear. Because a lot of people, all right, if you have never been under such circumstances, you won't understand. I don't know whether I get my point. You won't. You will not understand. You just think that the guy is a wicked soul. Now, listen to me. I'm not justifying what is bad, though. When Satan came, it's called temptation. It's called what? It's called what? When Satan came to tempt Jesus, what did he use? Mammon, hunger. The guy was hungry. The time you are easiest to tempt is when you are hungry. Whether you are finished praying or not is besides the point. Once you are hungry... You know, there are different kinds of hunger. There is a hunger in which I have not yet cooked, but there is food. There's a kind of hunger that deals with me personally every afternoon because I have a habit. I hardly eat outside my house. It's just a habit. I developed it long ago. Once I'm hungry, it's when I get home. Except maybe they are doing party in my office. Otherwise, usually the only thing I eat if I'm hungry outside is take a soft drink, you know, a biscuit, you know, stuff like that. But proper food, most of the time I eat at home. So this happens to me almost every afternoon. I get very hungry in the office. But that's not the kind of hunger I'm saying. Because that kind of hunger, it just needs me to go home. Or break a rule and send somebody buy me food. I'm talking about the kind of hunger in which if you go home, it's troublesome. In fact, it becomes more manifest. Get it clear? That is what is called temptation. And it's a serious matter. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what mammon is. When pressure is put upon people to consider the basic things of life. So when you tell that man, go and pastor a church somewhere. It is a natural human thing. I want to go to where? Abakiliki, to go and do what? Do they have money there? One of my friends told me he used to pastor a church somewhere. Then they transferred him to one of these churches that have branches. Then they transferred him to another branch. He said, banky. Listen, when I finish preaching, people still come to me after and say, Pastor, please, do you have small money to give them for transport? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But I hope you're getting what I'm going to say. I'm talking about the pressures that people might face in life. They do happen. Are you getting my point? I mean, your friends, all of them are just making progress. This is as if they now make you stand out because you're the only one left behind. Listen, the human flesh responds. If your flesh does not respond, it's one of two things. Either you are crazy or you have seen a revelation of God. There's no middle of the way. Do you understand my point? There's some people who are mentally out of order. So is it walking on the road naked? Why do you think? You think they don't, you know what I'm saying? They don't know they are naked. Their brain is out of order. A normal person won't walk like that. What I'm trying to say is this. There are people who behave abnormally. Say, ah, those kind of things, I don't care about them. Yes. Either because you have faith, do you get my point? Or because you decrease. Yes, it's true. What I'm trying to preach is to normal people. If you already have the faith, good. Then we'll admonish you concerning your faith. And peradventure you don't have it yet. Then that's my assignment for this evening. To bring the faith to your heart. Because listen to me, I'll give you my personal testimony. I had that faith long ago. How did I get the faith? It's simple. After I left school, when I met Bishop Oyedepo's ministry teaching, the word entered me so much that all I could see was future. The present was never manifested in my presence. Because I was soaked with God's word. I had met the Lord Jesus Christ who had given me life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, I will say boldly, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Then God gave me understanding, because there's what the Bible calls epignosis, which is full and true knowledge. Not just something you read from the scriptures, but something you are fully persuaded about. Do you get what I'm saying? That is what you will use, all right, to overcome all the things that the flesh is showing you as, in quote, reasons to fear. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? Listen, talking about the will of God, why men don't obey God's will is what I'm trying to explain and how we will tackle it. All these things, I said mammon. Mammon is not that I want plenty. Mammon is that, I told you, a friend of mine told me the other day, that one, he saw things happening around. He looked at him, he had left school, he didn't have a job yet. He saw those who left school long before him, who didn't have jobs. He saw the life of what the lives of people were turning out to be because of economic wahala. He said, Pastor Banky, I started crying. He said, suddenly I became afraid. Do you get my point? Those are the times that Satan will come and start tempting people. Turn your stones to bread. I preached a message about it some time ago. Then things that you should have used to be a blessing to people, suddenly you monetize it. My friend told me how he was very hungry. He went to go and preach, thinking that this is when I finish preaching today. The person said, oh, we're so blessed, escorted him to the Okada that he stopped and thanked him very well for coming and went away. I think the last 10 naira he had that he would call his own used to pay the Okada man to return him back to where he came from. The natural inclination is that, say you invite me next time, we'll go see. You know that kind of thing. We'll go see. He said that one, as he was praying, the Lord told him that, well, you will go back and preach again. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The reason why people disobey God, that's what I'm explaining. It is because of the multitude of encounters. Ken Hagin told a story. In fact, this will just illustrate what I'm saying perfectly. About a young preacher who one day, you know what they call a trailer? We don't have it much around in Nigeria. But go to construction site. You see a porter cabin, they put it on it. Just one small mobile house. All right. Construction people use it a lot. You know, you have a new construction site, it becomes an office. You just clear ground, dragging like three or four, put it there. That becomes a mobile office. All right? Abroad, people use it a lot for camping. You want to go, you know, just want to trip, you and your wife and one or two kids. Just put yourself in your mobile house and be dragging it. All those things you see at the back of Tokumbokas, that small hub, is for pulling your mobile house. It's okay to have it parked somewhere in your compound. When you need it, you drive it and then go and live in it and come back. It is a terrible thing, are you following my point? When you use that one as a house you live in permanently. I was watching on CNN the other day, talking about the economic decadence that was in the world. A man, about 60, and his wife, they used to live in a big house. Cut a long story short, this mortgage loan thing ran them into trouble. They lost the house, they had to move into a trailer. And the man, he was talking on CNN, he started crying. Can I get into the story of a young preacher whose father was a preacher, and then one day he went to visit his father and the father was living in a trailer. That's what I'm trying to explain. Are you getting my point? That is, the man had labored for God. The other day I was talking to Laz, two nights ago, my wife and I were talking. I said, there are people, there's something I was talking about. I said, there are people who I know, they have labored for God. But there is a likelihood, it's very common, you know, Christians are good people, but the world has corrupted their mentality a lot. You know what they like? They like preachers that are in vogue, who are happening. And as a matter of fact, those who have labored and have kind of retired, people tend to forget them. I was describing some people to my wife. I said, look, this man, I know him. He has labored. I said that God has brought it to my attention. May I never forget that this man has labored. Are you getting my point? This man that Kenegi was talking about had labored. He had retired. He didn't have enough money to live in a decent house. He was living in a trailer. Parks, you know, usually such in their parks are in a public place on a small, undeveloped private lot somewhere. So the young boy looked at it. He was a preacher and he swore, this will never happen to me. Now, that's what I'm talking about, mammon. It will appear like what he has said is a reasonable thing. The man said, this will never happen to me. I mean, it makes sense. Why should you, do you want to serve God for 50 years? And then when you retire, you don't even have a decent toilet to call your own. So the young boy said, Nalayo. He knew the will of God. He was supposed to be a preacher. He became a dealing man. And everything, he did everything to turn, like Ken Hagin would say, to turn a dollar. Anything that will turn to money, if he come and say that, look, Bibles are selling, he'll go and buy Bible and start selling. If he say preach and take a cut from the proceeds, he will get involved. And all he was thinking about was the fact that his father served God for 50 years and retired into a trailer. He said, that must not happen to me. That's what mammon is. That's why I tell you that it's not a matter of covetousness. I want to have something big. No, it's just I want to be secure. And it's the greatest, listen, it's the greatest competitor for your heart with the will of God. That's one thing that takes people away from the center of God's will. That man knew what he was supposed to do as a preacher. But was he doing it? No. Because if you tell him, focus on this, what he's thinking about, oh God, please, let me give you another assignment. You must walk with God in life until you succeed, so that people can use your life as an encouragement. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, you know, I have charted, God has helped me, charted a course for my life, and I'm working on that course. I won't deviate to the left or to the right. Now listen, if I say this, it will surprise some people. But if you know me, no, it shouldn't surprise you. I would rather die doing what I am doing, now, listen, than for somebody to give me as an example. And that's what Pastor Mark was saying those days too. But he too, one day he woke up to reality. And he started doing this like this. God may never happen. I will grab God's trouser like this. If you don't bless me, you ain't going. No, really. Because it's crucial. People after you are watching you, you don't know. You are preaching a message. You are teaching them a pattern of righteousness. Please, they won't know when you backslid from following God. All they will say is that, that's how they were saying those days. The man preached, was on radio shouting. When it's all reality. Oh, but the guy changed gear. You're following what I'm saying? That man, I'm going to bring out something. It's not because the guy was basically evil, the way you and I look at evil. It's because he saw what life turned out for his father. And he said, no, it must not be like that for me. And that's what Jesus calls mammon. That's what he was warning disciples against. He said, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. Now, I tell you that it's not as if it is wrong to want it. It is just that your heavenly father knows that you need those things. Therefore, he said, this is how you get it as a believer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus was saying, take my word for it. Every other thing shall be added unto you. Let me not lose track of what I'm trying to explain. Now, so what is a believer supposed to do? I said, you search the scriptures, thinking in them you have eternal life. The implication is obvious. you are doing what is wrong. Just reading the Bible is not what is just eternal life. It's using those testimonies as a platform for prayer, personal prayer before God. That is when you tap life from the Lord Jesus. What am I trying to explain? I'll give a few examples. Bishop Oyedepo said something once, just to illustrate this. He said, all his life, now, once he got to know the Lord Jesus Christ and he was a committed Christian, he said what he wanted was to be very rich so he could sponsor the gospel. Are you getting my point? Now, he now said that then one day, the call of God came upon his life and he knew he had to preach. Now, listen. He said he now went and prayed and said, God, where will my finances now come from? This one that you said, I mustn't do business, I mustn't do this, I must not do that, I must just preach. Do you follow my point? Listen, it's a matter of fact, the man faced, this is what the challenges are. So what am I supposed to do? That's what I'm preaching to us. Because there are two scriptures we read last time. One from Hebrews chapter 4, when he said, let us draw near to the throne of grace, all right? That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And then I read from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Don't forget what I said. Those people who doubted God in the wilderness, all right, who sinned against God, who rejected the word of God, what was the reason? It was because of what they heard. Are you getting my point? The people said that the giants are too big. We are going to die. And God said, according to what you have said, it will happen to you. Therefore, they died in the wilderness. But let me focus on one point there. Why did they doubt God? Was it not because of what they heard and what they saw? I'm telling you again, why would people walk out of God's will? It is because of the fears that life presents to them. And I'm teaching how to tackle those fears. So Bishop Oyedepo said that he took that and went to God in prayer and said, dear Lord, where will my finances come from? And he prayed. And listen, if you listen, there's one series I did on radio. I encourage everybody to go and get the CD and listen to the series again. I titled it, Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. I said the first stage is the stage of sitting down and counting. That is, I want to go into something. What is going to happen to me? Then you settle and say, what are you getting there? You get what I call wisdom for salvation. That is, God gives you a word concerning what you will do. Listen, it doesn't have to be what everybody else is doing. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, listen, what I do as a preacher today, I'm not joking about this, I didn't take an example from anybody. I didn't copy it. Now, there are one or two things that I'll say, okay, I've seen it done before. Therefore, encourages my heart. Are you getting my point? But I had a mission. And my own mission is simple. Push out this word as much as is possible. Are you getting my point? I'm not trying to excite anybody. I'm trying to put balance into the lives of people by the sound teaching of the word of God. Are you getting my point? Listen, I don't want to excite anybody. I want their lives to be balanced. Therefore, I started engaging every method, you understand, that will help me achieve that goal. I started by printing tracts. Then when I started teaching here every Saturday, ask Deji, that's my brother, sitting down there. From the first day we started, how many were we? Me? I think the first few times, I can't remember the very first day how many we were, all right? But the first few times we used to be me, my wife, Deji, Brown, and then later on Kingsley came, cut a long story short, from day one, before we started, I bought a microphone. I mean, five people gathered and there was a microphone. What are they doing with microphone? Simple. There was a small tape recorder. And because it used 8 batteries, which is 8, 12 volts, and there was no light here, as soon as we park, first thing we do is to bring our spanner, remove the battery of the car. And Kingsley will carry battery up, put it down there. I still remember in that corner. Ready, set, go! Then he will press record. The microphone, no, really, was wired to it. Every message I preached was recorded. We were just five. There are times I'll be preaching. There's no speaker. But I'm holding microphone. And I'm always explaining what I'm doing. I'll explain to people. Say, listen, you know why I'm holding microphone? I'm not crazy. I'm normal. The problem, the issue is that it is being recorded. Everyone was recorded. That was 2003 that we started this. All right? This 2008, for 5 years, I don't think I can count up to 3 days that I preached here and it was not recorded. With all the troubles, that is, you know why? Because I used to pray, say, God, please don't fill this place with too many people because I don't want to go and look for another venue. He said, Pastor Banky, what? I say, hey, those who come, let them just be buying CDs as they are going and go and share with everybody. So we'll be packaging the CDs to make it inexpensive. I will add even on radio, I say, please go and buy MP3 CD. It's retailed for 300 naira outside. They contain up to 18 messages. I mean, how cheap can it get? Do you get my point? Yes. And then you are told, please feel free to copy. Why? Because of the goal. Because of the goal. Are you getting what I'm saying? The goal is simple. Let the world just go out and transform the lives of people. There's a temptation, though. Let me tell you the truth. You see, when you watch TV, you sit down and watch, especially foreign TV. That's why I want to write the book, So Who Will Pay For This? I'm unhappy with what Christianity has become. We have become beggars. It upsets me when I see pastors begging for money. It really upsets my soul. Under whatever guise, I don't care that you are spending $300,000 a day. It's no excuse for begging. Now listen, I've already explained to you that something led to it. Are you getting my point? Yeah, something led to it. There are many things, many things. Amongst it is that you don't understand how these things should be financed. And even though you understood it, in the times of trial, you departed from the understanding that God gave you. And there's something about when you depart from God's order. Let me tell you. Sometimes you get results. Except that after that, you have to continue in your departed ways. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. Are you following the logic? Yes. And people start teaching the method that when somebody gives to you, always gives them something back. So you say that for your love gift this week, we want to give you this brooch to wear. Listen, if I want to give anybody a brooch to wear, I will give them brooch to wear. But I want you to entice them to give. People say, people want to know that they are getting something back. I say, if you don't have faith that God will reward you, don't give. The other day, somebody sent us money, a close relative. That's Kingdom Word. Took the Kingdom Word account number from my wife and paid money into the account. And so, no, I think she sent the money to my wife or something. So my wife said, have you called this person to say thank you? I said, so say thank you. I said, it's not ministry money. Say yes. I said, I'm sorry. It's not compulsory. If it was me, you dashed money. I must phone you and say, I got your money. Thank you. I said, but if it's ministry money, if I remember, good. If I don't remember, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad at all. I think you have enough sense to know that God will say thank you to you in his own time. Now, listen, I'm not saying that if I say thank you out of just simple courtesy, it's not out of gratitude. In Jesus' name, it's not out of gratitude. It's courtesy. Oh, thank you very much. Do you understand? Now, there is a prayer. If I pray for you physically there, good. Even if I don't pray for you physically there, there's prayer on top of it. Oh, listen to what I'm saying. Because when you are not there, I pray for the people who are working with me. There are different ways to work with me. There are those who have never showed up, but their money works with us. So I pray. So, listen, if I say thank you, it's out of courtesy. Do you know what I mean? It's good. It's good courtesy. Thank you very much. But it's not out of gratitude. I'm grateful to... I hope you get what I'm saying. I'm grateful to God. I depend on God. Like Paul said, I have coveted nobody's goods. I'm bringing out an issue. So, you see, a lot of people now sit down and they'll be begging. Please, oh, we didn't need this money badly. Sell your shirt. Sell your shoe. It's for God. Sell your wristwatch. Sell your mobile phone. It's for God. I say, Jesus Christ. I don't bow my head. Why are you begging if it is for God? You won't cry because of God. You know, he upsets. No, really. That's why you have never seen me do it. Where's our basket? It's at the corner there. And I don't say offering time, blessing time. I will always announce, look, listen, you know what I believe? Let me tell you again, I'm not joking about this. God knows. I say, a day will come. Somebody walk up to me and say, Pastor, this is a draft. It's 1 billion naira for the work of the kingdom. 3 weeks after, somebody who wouldn't know that has happened will just say, sir, this is a draft. 1 billion naira is for the work of the kingdom. Then maybe one day I'm just starting. I say, God has done that. And somebody say, people are giving. Me too, I'm not going to give. Okay. We want to say, sir, this is a draft. It's for 1 billion. Me too, I must be there. And that's, listen, over less than 24 months, 12 of them will do it. And let me tell you, another prophecy. People who will do it, most of them in a whole year, as of today, they don't see 500,000 naira. As of today. As of today. Who is the person? I don't know. I know about four already. You know why? They have queued up and come to say, Pastor, please, put my name on that list. One day, I will come and redeem the pledge. Now, I'm bringing out something. What am I going to explain? That's how I have come to understand the gospel should be preached. Listen, God has never gathered everybody. You go for a crusade ground, there are 50,000 people. God has never used 50,000 people to sponsor the gospel. Never. Just like one person is preaching, there are probably like four or five or six, in my opinion, usually 12 people that will contribute 90% of the money that the ministry is spending. That is what, look, I'm trying to explain something. It's something I came to understand when I started preaching. And don't think that we have always had money. There was a month, I did not even know our rent here was due. I thought it was going to be the end of the month. I didn't know it was due beginning of the month. So I would just say, I remember that day very well. I was climbing the stairs. My heart was almost worried. And I said, God, we have to pay rent. That's this place where we're all seated. And a thought came to my mind, and I believe it was the voice of God. I said, why are you bothered? If you worry now and I send you money tomorrow, how will you feel? I said, I will feel very bad that I have been worrying and you have come through. So in that case, why bother to worry at all? So I apologized on the staircase. I said, Lord, I'm very sorry. I'm not going to be troubled. The next day, you see, I didn't know that as I was praying that prayer, the money was actually lying in the account. The next day, one brother called me and said, sir, I sent money to Kingdom World yesterday. I said, all right, thank you very much. The same person had told me before that they want to pay for our website hosting for a month, for the next year, which I said, how much will they cost? I said, about 40,000. I said, okay. So I expected that the person would send like 40,000. Are you getting my point? That's what I expected. So, but because I was busy, I didn't go to check. And the young man has that habit. He didn't say anything about money. So later on, he called. And then I said, look, I've not checked the money, but why don't you ever even tell me how much money you're sending to us? So at least I will know. Must I go to the bank to go and find out? And I said, okay, sir, it's 800,000 naira. And I sent 200,000 to you personally. Your account contains 200,000. Ministry account was 800. And I remember, I said, Father God, thank you that I didn't worry yesterday. No, I told us to let you know, so don't think that it's because you have plenty of money. No. No, not at all. It was a decision we made from the beginning. The first day I went to radio station to go and try and preach the gospel, they gave me a bill, I ran away. When they gave me a bill, I said, thank you very much. It was nice talking to you people. In my mind, go away, thief, all of you. Want to kill person, because person won't preach. I beg. I ran. That's after I said, we are going to preach on air. When I heard what was going to cost, I disappeared. A few months down the line, without giving the further details, we started. And for over 3 years, we have been going on regularly. If any day you don't hear us on air, it's only once, twice in those 3 years that we were not on air, and it was our mistake. One of them, we forgot. The person I sent forgot to drop the CD. Every other time we've not been on air, it was Cosmo that was at fault. Either their generator broke down, the transmitter lightning struck it, you get my point, or the DJ was so engrossed with playing music, he forgot to play Wheel of Success, and I was not in town. And they have never called me one day and said, Pastor, please, you are owing money. Why don't people try and find money for us? No, I don't let it happen. Now, you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to explain the principle that sometimes the challenges of life is what makes people start running, you know, start doing things they don't believe in. So I was talking about before you get into issues, you settle down now. Please, let me get back to that. That's the main thing I want to say. You gather the knowledge. Oh, don't forget what I said. Like Hezekiah. Lord, some pastors have to beg to eat. You know me, I don't like begging. Now, I'm talking now because I'm a preacher. You know, I said at the beginning, it's not only preaching that's ministry. Are you following my point? There are people who have, I always like to say this one. There are people who have callings on them to teach children. Except that no school will agree to pay its children's teacher a lot of money. Therefore, the person goes to look for a job as a marketing officer, either in Glo, MTN, GTB, Zenith, and you know what I'm trying to say? Where it looks like there's more money. And every time, in fact, that you know what we now do? That kind of thing. You now go to church on Sunday. You go and join children's church quickly. So as to pay God for the one you are not doing during the week. You are the champion of children's church. Well done, children, clap. We are feeling on Sunday. So David, you tell the story of David and Goliath. Your soul knows you're supposed to be teaching arithmetic. So David now killed Goliath, and then Goliath now fell down. How many people know how David Goliath fell down? As you are saying it, God said, look at you. These children are supposed to be learning arithmetic from you, not Bible story. And you will know. You will know. Let me tell you the truth. I told you something. Don't ever dispose, that is like, rationalize away other people's revelation. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. That is, you see somebody is walking in a particular way, you know it is superior, but you don't want to acknowledge it because you can't do it. Let me give a practical example. My wife has an MBA, for your information. She has a BS in accounting. She has an MBA. On top of that, she just has one step away from finishing ICANN. That was 5 years ago. I mean, like, she hasn't done ICANN. That last step, she hasn't taken it in 5 years. Now, she used to work in a bank until my son, Akinlu, was born. And listen, before I married her, before I met her, listen, no. I knew that it is vain for a man to rise up early and come home late. It is even vainer for him and his wife to both rise up early and both come back late. That one is even more vain than the first one. I said a lie. That is, before, I knew from the beginning it won't happen. So, first year, my wife worked. She was working for a while. Then the Bobo was born. So I said, you see, the time has come. I said, well, no, somebody has to teach this boy the fear of God, teach him ABCD, you know, basic things. And it's either you or me. Either you go and win the bread and I man the house. Or I'll go and win the bread, you man the house. And God knows that the bread you win while I'm manning the house, I won't eat it. You won't even like it. So make your, I mean, no, really. That was it too. But you being a giver a very long, because she had accumulated leave and then maternity leave and everything, she was on leave for a while. So after the leave was over, my conscience smote me small. That, okay, just go back and work for them small more, you know. Then they now even made it worse. They said they are doing cut over. You know, they were cutting from Flex Cube or from Brains to Flex Cube. The computer program they were using before was Brains. They were now moving to Flex Cube. One day, my wife no go reach house. If I one day, she drove down home at 5 minutes past 12 midnight. All right. Then one day, she showed up at 5 in the morning. This handshake, don't you cross elbow. After some time, I said, baby, you know now. And then, to now, if around that time, they now put her in the counter. I went to the banking hall a few times. I told her, I said, baby, anytime I enter this place, there's never a smile on your face. You're in the wrong profession. You know, and I know. Why are we deceiving ourselves? So one day, she gave me as a surprise. We're supposed to travel. Are you coming? Yes. She just got to work, wrote a resignation with immediate effect, attached a check for 1 month's salary in lieu of notice, and said, I see you people. Me and my husband want to travel. And we traveled. Now, why? You people have plenty of money. Now, lie. It's not plenty of money. I used to rank myself as amongst the poorest of my contemporaries who do the same job. No, I'm telling you the truth. Because where I should have gotten to look for extra money, I use the time to preach. I didn't want, listen, if you know me, those who know me very well, they know I want to have some very, very good things. I tell people, they say, oh, God, your car is fine. I said, which car? This is a reflection that I don't have money yet. When you see me driving the car as ugly as this, it's because I don't yet have money. One day, a man saw me and said, Doc, have you bought a new car? I said, I will go and buy a car. This one I will buy. I borrowed it. I said, well, did I buy a car? You will know. I'm not going to bring out something. I like good things, as you see me so. I like them. In fact, my wife used to say that, this man, you have to be rich in life. She said, do you know why? Because I react to any metal that's not pure. I'm serious. If you see jewelry on me, it's always pure. If you adulterate it small, I break out in a rash. So that is my genes to have money. No, I'm serious. And that's one thing about me. I'm very patient too. I am very, very patient. That is, I will wait till that time and get the pure things of life. No, I'm not going to bring out the principle. It is not because I have plenty of. No, I didn't have. But I said, listen, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and where with us shall we be clothed is not going to make me not do what I know to be right. How can my wife be coming home at 9 p.m. and leaving home at 5 o'clock when I'm still trying to change the gear of my sleep? I said, no, I don't agree. But more importantly, is that look at it, my son Akinlu is a very sharp guy, very, very sharp. Very, very sharp. Sharp, abnormally sharp, you know what I mean? Very sharp guy. But what I always tell people, I say, hey, the teacher shouldn't even try to take any credit. Because my wife teaches him by herself every day. The other day, she employed a teacher to be teaching two of the younger ones, you know, in the afternoon, because they said they are doing lessons in school. I said, what kind of waste of time lesson for small children? If you want them to learn, let them come. Now, after watching the teacher twice, she sacked the teacher. But I told her, sack the person. He said, let me just give him 1 month. Then they disagreed. Just okay, just go. That is the amount of patience and skill she puts into teaching a 3-year-old. That teacher doesn't have it. I said, it's because he's your son. There's a difference between a true shepherd and a hireling. Now, I'm bringing some principles. Those are the things I believed, though. Those are the things I believed. Now, I'm trying to bring out an issue for one thing I'm saying. Like, look, in life, I understand something for sure. God has blessed me, and God has blessed my family. Physically, it may not be tangible yet. Do you follow what I'm saying? But I'm so sure of it, I'm just building and waiting, building the right channels. And how do I do it? I have settled on what I am supposed to do. I told you before, you cannot plot. Listen, you cannot plot the way by which God will bring forth his blessing upon your life. You can't. David was anointed as king, but how can he plot to win an election? There was no political party. Please, my time is going. I'm talking plenty, and I must finish that message today. And I will not overshoot. Now, this is the point I'm making. When you see issues, problems, I remember a lady, my friend, classmate, one more in school. One day we're talking, this is what I've told you now. I told her, we're just chatting. I said, no, me when I married, my wife is not going to work. Do this kind of work. Just run. I said, how can we have two bosses in the house? That is like, she has a boss, this is the husband, another boss in the office. I said, no, there will be only one boss. That's just my principle. Not everybody understands what I understand, but that's just my principle. I know what she said. No, you don't know how difficult the economy is. Your children will go to public schools. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I command you never, ever again to give me natural excuses why I should not do what is God's plan for my life. She said, I'm very sorry. I said, don't ever, ever in your life do that again. I was so offended. You will use the fear. What's wrong with public school anyway? As a matter of fact, my children go to, of course, this is everybody goes to private schools. My children go to private school, but that's not even the issue. As far as I'm concerned, what they learn is still their mother that teaches them. And I have a command, well, don't let me say that publicly anyway, but I have a commandment from God to teach them myself also. You can't teach my child as I can, because you don't love him. I do. You have 30 children to talk to. Me is one at a time. I know how to flog him in a painful but harmless manner. You don't. I flog him out of love, not out of impatience. Sit down and learn ABC. He doesn't sit down. Whack! Sit down. Then when you learn small, I give you sweet. You chop the sweet. You learn. No, do you understand this? I know, really. Now, please, I'm just speaking, but you understand what I say? These are the fears. How do we handle the fears? It's simple. Brethren, know what the fears are. Carry them home. Lock the door. Amen? Sit down. Don't even close your eyes. Cross the leg. Say, dear Lord, I want to talk to you. My father served you for 50 years. He's living in a trailer. I don't want to live in a trailer. But I want to serve you. Listen, don't bargain with God like, if you don't do this, I will do this. No, no, don't do that. Are you getting my point? Tell him, these are the fears I have. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I don't know whether you get my point. It's not as if God, if by next year, you don't build me a house too. Me too, I will stop. Oh. God will cross leg. Next year will come. He won't build it. Now say, okay, come now. So what do you want to do? You want to shoot me? This is how Christians pray. You say, God, these are the trials, these are the fears, and I am afraid. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I told my wife something. I said, there is no continent of this earth I will not take you to. None. It will happen. In fact, you know the prayer I prayed for her. I said, there's one woman I really like in Nigeria. Her name is Cecilia Ibru. And I have reasons for it. All right? Cecilia Ibru. So one day I blessed my wife. I said, you will be more honored in life, more than Cecilia Ibru. Those of you don't know, I hope you all know who Cecilia Ibru is. If you don't know who Cecilia Ibru is, please, go out and give yourself a knock on the head. In Nigeria of today, you must know who Cecilia Ibru is. Is there anybody who doesn't know? If I don't even admit it, go and confess. God, when Pastor Banky was talking to me, I did not know who Cecilia Ibru was. Now, I'm bringing out something. With that kind of prayer, I say, look, just do that which comes to you naturally. Do you get what I'm going to say? She likes to do something. I say, okay, that one, she likes, you see, for those of you who know, my wife does small business, you know, small home business, all right? And the idea behind it is that you do it at your own time. There was a time she said that the business is growing. I said, wait, this business is not allowed to grow yet. The children will grow first. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yes, no, there's a struggle because the idea is that time is what we are trying to conserve. You cannot take the time that we save from UBA and not give it to because the business is private. No. But the point I'm making is, I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. I hope you are following what I'm saying. That is, the blessing of God will still come. That's what I'm explaining. Even though we are not charting the course as natural people would have expected it. Just like David could not have charted his course naturally to becoming king. Even though he was anointed king. Listen. Such prayers is not the kind of prayer. Just look. You pray it until your soul gets an assurance. So much that if they bring the news to you, it doesn't worry you. I don't know what I get. What I want to say. Please, if you haven't read this book, make sure you read it. Acquire Life. I discuss that in it. There's what I call echoes of accusations. Those news you hear around, people telling you, look at this, look at them. It's not just human beings telling you. It's what the argument Satan is using in heaven that people are hearing and they are repeating in your ears. There's a way you carry that. Listen, the Bible, Jesus said, these scriptures, they testify of me. That is, the word of God will tell you the divine plan for your life. What is the divine plan? By his stripes, I have been healed. What is the divine plan? I have a sound mind. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of what? Of love and the sound mind. My mind is sound. Are you getting my point? My good example is Terry Mize and Jackie Mize. When Terry Mize married Jackie Mize, Jackie Mize said that the doctor said I can't have children. He said the doctors don't know what they are saying. God said, I am he that make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. Terry said, Abel, marry me all the same. Forget the doctors. I will handle that issue later. Marry the girl. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then prophesied fruitfulness into her life. She had 3 children for him. Listen, don't worry about it. Amen? Worry about it. How do you worry about it? You carry it and go into a garden called Gethsemane. And you spread the news down and you roll on the floor using the scriptures. You see, it's not just desire. God, this is what you have planned. I am. No, that's how you counteract the words that Satan is speaking against you. At the end of the day, your heart comes out solid. Just like Jesus Christ. He said, oh, you guys are still sleeping. Get up. The time has come. Let us go. That kind of one, when the solidity enters that young man's heart, he would say, I said, come, let us go and do the wedding. Everybody will say what they want to say. Listen, I told you, good works is not just that I gave money or I helped somebody who is poor. Good works sometimes is that I stood in the face of adversity and I obeyed God. You don't do that with your natural strength, though. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's not just both faith. That's not what faith is. It's that I have recognized the troubles and the trials ahead. And I have taken that knowledge using the scriptures that describe the divine plan. I take the knowledge to God and say, God, here it is. I'm laying my cares. I'm casting all my burdens before you. Because I understand that you care for me. I won't worry. No. Because by the time I'm departing from here, I will have the spirit of confidence. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. That one, there's no method. Either God pours it into you, or he doesn't. And like I always advise, if you leave that place, are you getting me? And your heart still trembles, come back next time. Are you following my point? Come back next time. You pray until there is a rest in your soul. Until the peace of God that guards, that passes all understanding, guards your heart and your mind. It is not easy to make some decisions that will require you not earning a lot of money when you have a younger ones after you. You're a first son. Your father is very old. You have 7 junior ones. You have to look for money. But God says, go and do this one. You don't just walk and say, it doesn't matter. Listen, my friend, it matters. That's when people fast and pray. All this fasting and praying against enemies is not the will of God. You fast and pray until you have prayed yourself into the center of the will of God. Do you get my point? My time is up. We don't even have time to pray.